Hello, everybody. Welcome to Amazing You podcast and YouTube channels, the channels where stories of resilience, triumph, and unwavering hope come to life. And in each episode, we dive into the inspiring journey of individuals who have faced the toughest challenges head-on and emerged victorious. Our aim is to be a beacon of inspiration, offering a guiding light to those navigating through difficult times. And today, whether you are watching or listening, whether you are dealing with health challenges, professional setbacks, or personal struggles, this channel is dedicated to uplifting your spirit and showing you that even in the darkest moments, there's a path to hope and triumph. So join us as we share powerful stories that transcend adversity, reminding you that resilience is a force within us all. So be prepared to be inspired and find the strength to navigate life challenges. This is Amazing You channel, where hope takes center stage. I am your host, Dr. Rani Thanakodi. I am a clinical hypnotherapist using rapid transformational therapy method. I am a Mars-Venus life and relationship coach, breathwork coach, astrologer, tarot reader, past life regression practitioner, chakra practitioner, and life force compassion practitioner. So today I have the great pleasure to introduce you to the incredible, the beautiful Dr. Norma Gregory. Dr. Gregory is a social historian, diverse arts curator, and broadcaster with extensive experience specializing in equality, diversity, and inclusion heritage education through creative arts. Dr. Norma has worked in partnership with Historic England, BBC Uplands TV, Cardiff Productions, The Voice newspaper, Channel 4 News, BBC Moon Age Pictures, Anastasia Museum, the National Coal Mining Museum, Yorkshire, Durham University, Newcastle University, Nottingham City Council, and Nottinghamshire County Council. So welcome, Dr. Gregory, to Amazing You.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the lovely introduction there. Thank you.
You are welcome. I am really interested to know if you could share with the audience a bit about, briefly, if you can tell us about your story that had led you to do all these great things, Dr. Gregory.
Thank you. Well, I'm passionate about education, what we learn, what we don't learn, what we're not taught, and things that we find out for ourselves. So I'm really interested in helping people to learn how to reflect and think and to ask questions about life, about their own life, about their own identity and place, their place in the world and sense of belonging. So that's really was my starting point to all of my academic studies and work roles that I've done over many years. It's always been around understanding more about who I am, why am I here?
Yes.
What am I doing or what am I not doing? It was that kind of trying to understand things, but and my place in the world. So that was a starting point. So all of my work has been around a lot of questioning, using actually English skills, English writing, English literacy skills, which I became a teacher for some years, and I worked in schools. So I enjoy reading, writing, speaking, and listening. They're kind of four elements of English that we, you know, English language that we're taught in schools now. Yes. I'm passionate about that, and I'm passionate about communicating and sharing knowledge, because I think that's what communication should be around, is sharing knowledge, sharing and working together, working with each other. So that's really was my starting point in all of my heritage work, which I do now.
Wow, that is amazing. And you said at the beginning that you went on that journey to discover who you are, why mm-hmm. you are here. And do you think you have found out your purpose at this point of your life?
I would say yes, I really would say I do have a very clearer picture, because I think in my 20s I didn't know that was my kind of most I couldn't see the future at all. Right. I couldn't see any reason what I had to do in this world, and I kept going to careers advisors and lots of people to ask them, what do you think I'm going to be good at? What is it am I going to do with my life? And I was never really given any answers. I would say that at this stage in my life, I'm 54 now, about to be 55 in the summer. I do know. And I think I knew that maybe 14 years ago when I was 40, when I left teaching in 2012, around 2012, I said, right, I know what I've got to do. And I started working voluntary writing for a magazine, a local magazine. And then I decided to set up my own small social enterprise, specifically aimed at providing educational consultancy, educational resources, workshops, teaching around literacy and heritage, because our heritage is our gift, yes. our past. Yeah. But it's there to help us today and in the future. So that's why I worked in heritage, because I had to delve into my past, yes. and into the past, you know, my local history, the national history and the global history. I had to look at everything, yeah. what had gone on in the past in order to place myself in that story, because I think we often place ourselves outside of history, yes. And outside of heritage, but we are not. We should not be thinking that. We should be placing ourselves in it and speaking in it, i.e. speaking that you are part, you've got some link to heritage. You might not realize what it is, or you might not realize, you know, there's something in the past or someone in the past that links to you. So that's your heritage. And it's a gift, because I think knowing about your past is a gift, like knowing who your grandfather is or your great grandfather, because I found out my great grandfather was a soldier. I always knew he was a soldier, but my father told me he was a soldier, but I kind of thought, really? And I looked into it. I went to Kew, the National Archives, to look at the war, right. the soldiers' names and listings, and I found my great grandfather listed there, and so forth. So it's been an amazing journey, and I would really encourage everybody to start to ask those big questions, and don't be afraid to ask questions, because I think when I think back at school, I was always put in the sin bin. When I was at primary school, I remember always being put in the sin bin. Imagine being put in the sin bin, a bin for sinners.
Oh, right.
And I thought, why am I? Yes, a bin for sinners, a sin bin. And this sin bin was a table by yourself in front of the teacher's table. And on a Friday, I was always put on that table in the sin bin for talking too much.
Okay.
So I was, you know, you're discouraged from talking at mm-hmm. school. You're discouraged, you know, growing up, you're not really, well, I wasn't really encouraged to ask questions that I do now. So, you know, I felt a sense of silencing, really, and loss of voice, where I knew I had a voice and I knew I had lots of interesting things to say, but it was always at the wrong time or not needed or nobody wants to hear it or, you know, that kind of thing. So, and it's funny because I do a lot of speaking now. A lot of my day work is doing talks and presentations and lectures and do this podcast today. So it's all again, my past has helped me to be here in this moment. And if I didn't have that past, what happened to my in my life, I wouldn't be here right now. So I do look at it as a gift.
It is definitely, yes. You said a couple of great points where you talk about when you find your purpose, you know, because at this time, so many people are looking for their purpose and you find your purpose. And I think that's great because that keeps you motivated, that keeps you passionate, and you want to share it to help other people to find their purpose by rediscovering themselves in looking at their heritage, you know, because the younger generation, they tend to forget about the importance of our heritage, and because without our ancestors, we wouldn't be here.
Yes, exactly.
Because they've paved the way for us. So I think we are here for the future generation as well. So I think understanding our heritage and where we come from, it's very important. I did that a bit. My dad did that a bit. And that was so eye-opening, you know, when you realize, wow, this is what your ancestors went through. This is what they had to go through. Like my ancestors had to get on a ship. And it was really interesting because they came from India, and they were told that in Mauritius there was gold if you turn the rocks. So they boarded the ship, and what happened during the boarding? They exchanged passports. Some of them of the people in India didn't want to travel, so they changed passports with each other. And then I discovered that my family name is not my real family name, you know? There are my real ancestors there. So they just changed, got a different passport to be able to come. Wow, it's so interesting when you dive into that.
Yes.
Yeah, and you mentioned also that you've done a lot of work, and speaking wasn't something that was important, that wasn't encouraged as a child.
Yes.
And
yes,
a lot of our education system, even until now, they don't really help children to develop their talents, their inner talents. And not only the family is not sometimes not the right environment to understand the child emotions, and so the school as well, in addition of that. So it's interesting that through your work, you healed a lot.
Yes.
And you got to discover your voice and to speak out and to share the stories and to help other people. And
yes. But I would say that study has been central to my development as well, my personal and professional development. I mean, as you can see behind me, I've got many books all around this room, my study office here. I love books. They literally saved my life. I started reading late in my life, age 20, having been in a women's refuge, and I started reading because that was it. What else was I supposed to do? So I love books. They're part of my life. I feel very, I would feel lost without them, without any, you know, without books around me, because they help me to see different perspectives.
Yes.
They help me to improve my reading skills, writing skills, grammar skills. Mm. And now in my work, I do a lot of writing every day as a heritage consultant, helping to write master plans and strategy for heritage sites all over the world now in the work that I'm doing. So I feel, you know, are people buying less books? I would say no. I think post-COVID, people are buying more books.
Absolutely.
And I am so pleased that people, especially young people, are reading a lot more, because obviously before COVID, I don't think young people read as much, but they do. If you go to any bookshop, it's packed with young people.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to see. See that. So, yes, I really enjoy kind of hearing people's stories, their narratives, their lived experience. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the work again that I do now, doing oral history training. I did some training last week for a community heritage group, to training young people, young Muslim women okay. to do interview other people in the community, finding out their experiences. So that's part of my work as well, helping using my journalism skills. Many years ago when I did training, Sitting Girls in Radio and Print Journalism before I went to university. And I love journalism. I wanted to be a journalist years ago, and I tried to get into journalism. Could not get in. Could not get in the industry at all. And it's really weird because this stage in my life, I've done so much media work, and I've been involved in the media so much. But when I was trying to get in the media in my 20s, it was impossible. Not impossible. It was nearly impossible. But I thought about that, and I thought, okay, I'll do something else. I'll do something different. Not because I couldn't get in, but I thought when one door closes, another one or two doors open. And I thought, okay, I can't get in that way, so I'll do it a different way. Mm-hmm. And that has been through education and my work in the heritage sector. I've been involved in a lot of media production, working with independent companies, with mainstream broadcasters. But I've worked with them in a holistic way, in a way that is good for me, in that the programs that I've been part of, and radio programs as well, they've always been around education, encouraging people. They've been a lot to do with the miners. I've done a lot of research into mining history, again sharing stories of resilience and camaraderie. So they've always been, I've always worked with the media in a constructive way, because I think the media is a communication tool. Yes. So think of a toolbox and the different tools in that toolbox. The media industry is like that. So in that toolbox, you've got radio, you've got broadcast television, you've got magazines, newspapers, online, pods, blogs. They're all different tools for communicating, sharing knowledge, sharing lived experience. Yes. So use the media in a good way to spread good news. And that's another reason why I set up my company called Nottingham News Centre. It was in order to create good news and share good news. I wanted that because I think the media can be seen as like creating negative stories or negative news. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to create good news and positive news. And you can, every single person can be a journalist. Cool. Yes, they can. And they can create good news about their local area, about whatever they're doing. You can create good news stories, positive, healthy, holistic news. And that's what the work that that I'm really passionate about.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I was born in Nottingham.
Okay.
So, yes, I was born in Nottingham. My parents moved here, moved to the UK from Jamaica in the early 60s.
Right.
Because of the offer of work in the Caribbean in the early 60s. And earlier than that, many people were encouraged to come to the UK to work and to contribute, which they all did for many, many years. My mother was in the NHS for 40 years. Okay. My father in the steel industry for 30 years. So, yes, and so I was born here in the East Midlands in 1969. So effectively second generation West Indian, I would say. But Black British, or a person of the African diaspora, that's what I call myself as well, because I'm part of a bigger family.
Okay.
Global family.
Right. But you said you stayed in a centre for some time.
I was in a women's refuge, age 20. Women's refuge. Yeah.
If you can share with us
how did that happen? That happened from making a choice that's not a bad choice. You know, sometimes in life, with things, you kind of take a wrong turn, or you make a wrong decision. I wouldn't say it's a wrong decision, but it felt like a wrong decision, because if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be here now and doing what I'm doing. But I think sometimes in life, there are crossroads which you come to, And sometimes you can take the wrong road. And it either means you have to take the long road round to the back to the path that you are destined for. So that's how I look at that. It's part of life. It's part of my life. And I think sometimes when you're young as well, you make rash decisions or you make wrong decisions. But, you know, I think that I look back now and I think, again, like I said, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be a strong woman that I am today.
Yes.
I'm a very strong woman today. And I, at that time in my life, I was not a strong woman. I didn't know who I was, my identity. I hadn't worked that out yet. My purpose, I hadn't worked that out yet. So that those are the things that make you vulnerable and make you weak when you don't have the strength and resilience and confidence. Those are the things that... you know, university, college, school, you don't learn those things. I think they come with time, really, and experience.
Yes, definitely, definitely, yes. But you shared with me a very interesting story of how you got into university. I think it is worth sharing to the audience if you want to, because that will inspire a lot of young people who maybe don't have the right environment to support them, to guide them, but how your perseverance, your determination to go to university helped you to become who you are today. Yeah.
Yes. Well, back to the story of being in the refuge when I started reading, I started to enjoy reading because I think before that incident, I didn't read a lot, and I didn't see the purpose of reading. So when I started to read, I started to question things and look at things differently, and I wanted to do more of it. So I wrote a letter, a handwritten letter in pencil on 4 sheets of paper, which took me ages to do, lots of rubbing out and rewriting. I wrote a letter to Hackney Council in London, because I was in a refuge in Hackney, London. And I explained to them my situation and that I wanted to do great things in my life. And I will do great things in my life, but I needed their help. So I asked them to support my return to college. Mm. So I waited for the letter, any reply, waited weeks and weeks. And then I got a letter in the post and the letter said, yes, we will help you return to college, go to college. And then I did 2 years at college where I did radio and print journalism for 2 years, which I got a distinction for, and then English and French A-levels. And after towards the end of the 2 years at college, College of North East London in Tottenham and Seven Sisters, I wrote back to Hackney Council and I said, Hackney Council, this is my journey. This is what I've done. I've just been to the college. I've had a great experience, life-changing experience. And I want to, my teacher said I should go to university. And I didn't know what university was. Okay. I'd never been to one before. I was never told to go to university at school. But I asked Hackney Council and I said, I would like to go to university. Would you have to study English to be a journalist? And I wrote back to them with a pencil and paper again, a long letter, very long letter, but a honest, open, frank letter. Mm-hmm. And my desire and passion and determination to keep on learning and to go to university. To read English. So again, waiting for the letter, and I got a response saying, yes, we will, again, we will support you to go to university. We will pay your maintenance fee. There was no loan, student loans just started to be introduced because I took a loan in the third year, a small loan, because we had to move off the campus and rent accommodation. But I was so grateful. I worked so hard those 3 years, actually the 5 years, 2 years at college, I worked flat out because I was so grateful that someone, an organisation had chosen to help me for some reason, they'd never met me before, but for some reason, they had belief in me. And I told them, believe in me. You know, I really expressed myself in these letters that I needed this. This was really kind of vital. and university, I loved my time at St. Mary's in Twickenham, in London, just outside London. Wonderful time in my life. 3 years of English language, English literature, theology and religious studies. I worked flat out in those 3 years. I gave everything. I read every book, you know, possible. I spent a lot of time in the library on campus. I moved onto the campus. I had a flat. I let friends stay in the flat and I moved and went on the campus so I could study in peace. And it was wonderful. Again, life-changing for me. Because I got to read, I got to take part in debate, I joined lots of societies, I joined the athletics team because I was very good at athletics, throwing shot put and javelin and discus. I spent a lot of time talking to the lecturers about any problems that I had, trying to understand the question or understand some of the texts because I wasn't familiar with some of the kind of classic texts that we were reading. It's all new to me, but I jumped in. I literally said, right, every book that I read, it changed my life. Every single book that I read or even read a chapter changed my life because I thought, wow, somebody has thought this or somebody did this or why did that happen? How come nobody challenged that? Because I was seeing a lot of, even though some of the stories in the literature we were reading were fictional, they were very close to lived experience. And I thought, wow, somebody's tackling a topic that has always bothered me and bugged me, but nobody's answered. So I use the literature, English literature, not just English, written in English, but texts from all over the world, from writers all over the world. I just, again, every essay that I wrote was always really passionate, really trying to solve some of human experience, the challenge of human experience, some of the challenges all humans face, such as loss, love, death, anxiety, fear. So it was wonderful just to kind of have time again to read, to write, to discuss and to chat and not be put in the sin bin for talking too much, but actively encouraged to talk. Which was wonderful at St. Mary's. I went on from there to do my master's degree in education at the Institute of Education, University of London, which is now UCL, part of UCL. Mm-hmm. That was wonderful, learning how to mentor. I did a lot of mentoring in schools, trying to encourage young children to study and the value of study, how important it is. And I really was stressing to them how important it is to learn, but not just learn what's in school, but to go find out what you like to find out about, you know, your own hobbies, interests. Lots of children have pets and things. So I encourage them to look into looking after their pet, you know, reading up, writing little articles about their little pets and things. So I was very much into informal learning as well, not just formal learning. But
I think it's very important what you said.
Questions, yes.
I think it's very important what you said, Norma, looking at informal learning, because it's not only about academic textbook. And I found that today it was very, very beautiful to notice with my students when I asked them a question about a book that they've read, what is the current book that they've read? And I found out that they have so many hobbies that I wouldn't have known if I haven't asked them. Some like painting, some are authors of books, they've written books. Wow, it's like some like herbal medicine books. It's so interesting, the variety of ideas that they gave me, but that they gave each other as well, you know? Yeah. And they really enjoyed that experience. So I definitely completely agree with you that some informal learning
is
very, very important.
Yeah. And informal learning of your own choice.
Yes.
I think you have to be passionate. You have to have passion for whatever you're looking at, studying, reading, working in, whatever field you're working in. If your heart's not in it, if your passion's not there, you're not going to have a lot of energy to do the job well. So I think choosing and taking a different direction. I was a school teacher for a number of years. I worked in schools for 13 years in total. And at the end of my phase in school, I took the leap of leaving my job. I had no money. And I thought, right, I'm going to do what my heart says I'm to do. And that is to read, write, meet people, socialize, get to bed a bit earlier, get to the gym a bit, you know, in the morning. So I had a change of life, and that was so important. Again, I wouldn't be here. I don't think I would be here if I didn't take that decision. And I made it by myself. I had to do it because that was my calling. It was a calling, literally. Yes. And the work I'm doing is a calling. I am called to do it. Nobody else can do the work that I do. I have to do my work, and you will also have to do your work. Absolutely. Whatever that work is, you will be revealed. It will be revealed to you in time, in good time. But until then, I think it's the preparation phase you have. And again, it's timeless. You never quite know how long it's going to be or why. But I think, you know, there's a phase in your life when you're preparing for the work, the work you'll do that changes the world. And it's as big as that. The work that I'm doing now is changing the world. It will. Or if it doesn't change the world, then it's not the right work. Because I think everybody's work should make a positive impact on life, human life, and for the future. If it's education, if it's health, if it's whatever field you're in, I think science, it should be to create resilience, you know, strengthen human life, but not, you know, emotional strength, spiritual strength, physical strength, you know, holistically, you know, because it's not just learning or reading, but it's for a reason, you know, because I'll need to be fit. That's why I go to the gym. I have to be fit to do my work.
Yes.
Because if I don't go to the gym, I can't, my brain's not functioning. I'm a bit grumpy or, you know, if I put on weight, I don't like too much weight because I can't get around what, you know, where I need to go. So there's many elements that you will do to prepare you and to guide you in the work that you have to do to make lives better, to improve lives and all lives or all people's lives, not just a particular group or particular religious group or particular social group.
Yes.
It's all lives, and it's as big as that. And if you know, we all look at our work in life to be as big as that, because the wrong move can destroy lives. You know what I mean? Making the wrong move can destroy lives. Saying the wrong words can destroy lives. It can, you know what I mean? It can destroy confidence, self-esteem.
Yes.
So, you know, it's as big as that. I think the decisions we make. So we just need to prepare ourselves for the work we have to do and do it well. Try your best.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you. And I know you love reading. Reading is your passion. So from all the books that you've read, what one book has impacted you the most and why?
Oh, wow. Oh, gosh, that's a hard one. That really is hard. That's a very difficult one.
But that you would read often and often again the same book, right? Because you are so passionate.
The Bible.
Okay.
The Bible is close to my heart because it's got lovely poetry in it. It's got lovely prose in it. It's got lots of sayings and things that I've learned and read over the many years. And I've studied theology as well.
Okay.
I love art. There's a major book back here, if I can point to it here, The History of Art. I've looked at that book many a time because I like to look at buildings. I like to visit different churches and look at the architecture. I love poetry. I like poetry is that you can express yourself and your inner heart. Poetry, some people find it difficult to access and kind of understand, but it's often, it's a different style of writing, and it's very emotive and often personal as well. So I've got many, many books that I love. I love biographies, autobiographies, like the human story, a person's own life story. If it's written by themselves, it's an autobiography. And if somebody writes it about them, that's a biography. So I like that kind of, because that was really my reading journey, started reading biographies, people's stories. So that's the kind of genre of book that I like.
Thank you.
Too many to choose from. They're all great. I love all of them. There's too many.
Yes, there are so many great, great books. And I think it's about diving into that, finding the one that you are interested in. As you read, you will find out that you know so little because there's so much knowledge out there.
Yes.
Yeah. And my other question to you, Norma, what would you tell people today who are listening and watching and who are going through some really tough times with the rising the cost of living, you know, with people losing jobs every day and people suffering from mental health issues? What would you like to tell them today?
Well, what I would say, there's so much I would say, but I'm going to try and summarize. But I would really say, try not to worry too much and reduce the amount of media. Sometimes watching negative news stories, I find that so destructive to the spirit and to the mind. Mm-hmm. So reduce clutter, like I call that clutter, things that are influencing you. Taking you away from your journey and your choice and your calling, your pathway. Remove them, reduce them, and all remove them. So switch down the news, negative news, switch down things that are kind of just distracting for you if you can. I would say talk to people. To talk to other people. Don't just don't kind of keep everything to yourself. If you need to share something, especially if you're at college or university, there's often counselling services. When I was at university, I went to counselling every week, and I don't feel ashamed because if it wasn't for the counsellors, they were absolutely amazing. They just listened to my journey and my life, and not just my life, but the kind of things that was challenging, things that I wanted, great things were happening. They just were really supportive. And it was free when you go to sixth form college or, you know, hopefully they've got them more in schools now, but universities, it's free, often a free service. So take advantage, because when you leave their university, it's not free. Often it's not free, and you've got to pay a lot of money, you know, for an hour. So get support where you can. You know, choose the right career or change career. Don't be afraid to change career, because you don't have to be in the same job for your whole life.
Absolutely.
You don't. And there are now many avenues of job searching, such as LinkedIn. Brilliant LinkedIn. That's where most employers, you know, put jobs that they have. Yes. And join a group. So for instance, if you're interested in gardening again, join the gardening groups on LinkedIn, because you hear what's happening in the industry. You start to meet other professionals who are in the gardening industry, say. You start to meet employers that are, you know, to do with that subject. So that LinkedIn, I think, is brilliant for professional development and job searching, as well as many other websites and, you know, publications and things. I would really say don't give up and think that things will change. Things might be tough for a period. That period might be a week, a month, a year, 5 years, but things will change. Things will change, but you got to, you know, also demand change, make a change in your own life, such as get some exercise, join a Keep Fit group or dancing, get socializing a bit more, do some self-learning, some reading in a particular topic or an author that you like, or never, you know, something that you've never had time to read or find out about. You could do some writing, write about things that are affecting you, write about good things that you want to do, write about things that inspire you, encourage other people. Because when people read your writing, they'll think, oh, wow, that happened to me and that person's helped me and now I'm going to do it differently. So you might mentor other people unknowingly. You might be mentoring other people. So don't give up and think differently. Write things down. Have a notebook and pen. Go back to pencil and paper.
Yes.
You know, we often spend all our lives on the computer. Go back to pen and paper. I've got my notebook here. Every day I write. I put the date at the top and I write everything I'm thinking about, things I'm working on, things that are challenging. Write them right there so I can close the book at the end of the night. Wow. And I can go to bed and get some sleep. And then I'll open it in the morning and then I will continue. So kind of put measures in place so you can breathe mentally, physically, spiritually, and you can be you, your authentic you. And that's my advice.
Wow. I think, thank you so much, Norma. You said so many, everything is great, golden nuggets here. And I really encourage the audience, if you can't do, you won't be able to do everything, but pick a few of those that can really, that you feel relate to you with what Norma just said, and put them into practice. It's not only about listening, but you also have to put things into practice and take actions to change your life. Yes. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And my last question to you, tell us more about, you said you were a director of Nottingham News Centre. So tell us more about that and the great thing that you do, and how can people reach out to you, Norma?
Thank you so much. Well, Nottingham News Centre, I set it up in 2013 following my teaching career, and because I wanted to pursue my dream and also generate my own income, become financially independent, for educational purposes, to promote education, to share knowledge. Nottingham News Centre, it's been absolutely life-changing. It's a social enterprise. I'm really proud to be a woman to run a business for 11 years now.
Wow.
And to encourage other people to try and set up their own little business, whatever that is, whatever you want to do. You promote your own services, your own skills, work as a consultant, work with helping other people. So that's what the work I do. Some of the work we do, we make educational resources. So I find the work I've been doing, I found teachers haven't got certain resources or organizations don't have certain resources. So we create them, we write them, we've drafted educational posters to do with heritage, calendars, books, merchandise and everything else. So it's been a wonderful journey. If you want to find out more about some of the amazing work we've done, you could visit the website, NottinghamNewsCentre.com. You could visit my own personal profile, it's normagregory.com, or you could follow me on LinkedIn really, and Facebook, Instagram.
Thank you so much, Norma.
Thank you.
And I would like to say a big thank you to you, for taking your time to share with the audience today your journey and all the great things that you do, and to inspire them today, to give them hope. And I really appreciate that. And I'm sure the audience as well have got a lot of really taking notes of so many golden nuggets you've been sharing today. And I wish you the very best in your career. In everything that you do, keep shining, and we need you in the community. We need you globally, so you are here to help the next generation. You know, it's so important, and really appreciate your work. And I would say big thank you to the audience for watching, for listening, and for sharing. And if any final word you want to share to the audience before we finish?
Just say, so great, sharing with you, Arani. You're doing amazing work, and keep up the good work for yourself. Keep going, keep strong.
Thank you. Thank you. Very, very grateful for you, Norma, to have met you and to have you on the podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.